this is why I'm not so big on the content creation type of thing. Look at the real professionals who's actually in this field, who's not making a video about every single day in the life at work. I'm doing absolutely nothing with my private jet around in the backyard. If you're actually working in the field, you have a job. So,
and I feel like in the last 2 years, at least for me, I've seen cybersecurity go to this big influencer world where, like you said, you're seeing things that aren't actually realistic.
Honestly, what you also find out a lot of times is most of the time the people who are trying to convince and sell you a stuff are the people that's getting paid off of what they sell to you, and they're not actually. Since Lee is not, what's called, spoiler alert, Lee, you can cover your ears if you want to.
Spoiler alert for what?
The Shy.
Oh, yeah, because I stayed up late last night just to make sure I watched all the shows.
Oh, really? Oh, so you finally caught up?
I am. Yep.
What is so special about this shadow?
Have you ever watched it at all?
I heard about it when it first came out some years back. I think I watched the first episode and that was it.
It's about some kids basically from Chicago. And then it just branches out. I think they started in like elementary school and now they grown and then graduated in college.
I think that's one part of it. Cause then outside that, you got in the beginning, it started, well, of course, Brandon and Jerrica were there no more, but Brandon, Jerrica, Emmett, Keisha, Emmett Mama, and then of course, Ronnie. It like had a lot of moving parts about it.
The it's drug definitely thing. A lot. Yep.
It's touching like on like a lot of different things. So, the acting has gotten better as the seasons progressed, so that's good.
You know, I don't think Jake can act. I like Jake, though.
I'm not talking about necessarily Jake. Well, he's better than when he was a kid. You got to think about it, though. They don't really give Jake lines
opportunity.
To show range. Like, his stuff is more basic. Like, the people that got to show range a lot of times is Bakari, Papa.
I love Bakari. Kevin.
Hey, guess what? You know, it's funny. You're going to laugh, but when we watching The Shot, I always call Bakari evil Tariq.
He is. He really, oh my God, like, he would have been perfect as his son, low key. If Tariq wasn't his son.
Because he can't act as good as Michael Rainey. But because you know he's on Power as well, just under Chicago versus Tommy now.
He is, yep.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the like acting part for his different shows. How do you determine who can act? I mean, the only place I really seen bad acting.
Did you see Big Meech when
did you see BMF?
But
Ty Washington. When Ty Washington died, did you see Meech try to act with Young Miami?
Yeah, the only place I really see some really horrible, horrible acting is Tubi. All right, so
no hey, way. I've seen
really
it.
Have some good acting.
Some good stuff.
In
music, yeah.
In the movie.
I've seen some horrible acting on Tubi, man. Oh, my goodness.
I think for me, plenty of shows. I'll point an actor out immediately. Like, he's not convincing me. She's not convincing me. But so-and-so is carrying the scene, which is what happens a lot.
Yeah, because, for example, on BMF, the people who carried BMF was Charles, Lucille, Detective Bryant. And probably like the three people that really carried it, to be honest. Yep. Oh, and Da Vinci.
Oh, I was going to say, what about Da Vinci, man? My guy was playing that eyeball role real tough.
Oh, speaking of, that my eyeball reminded me of Charleston White. Did y'all see Charleston White and Orlando Brown?
No. They was finna fight or something?
Nah. Charleston just wasn't going to let Orlando Brown keep on doing all that crazy stuff. But I'm probably not going to finish it. I tried to see if they had anything of substance in it, but you really can't when you got Orlando Brown on the platform. It's just a shit show.
Can we just circle back to The Shy really quick? Mm-hmm. The episode tickled me all night. Like, I was just like, wow, it's a lot happening in this episode. But one thing that really rubbed me the wrong way was Emmett's dad bringing his brother just like, yeah, this your brother. We about to hang out today, when Emmett was intending on that being, I guess, like a solo day. It was really weird how he tried to force it upon him. But I did appreciate what his mom said when she was talking to the dad, when she put him to the side, where she was like, his intentions are good. But I don't know, man. That was weird. How would you feel if that happened to you?
I don't know. I guess I could never kind of fathom it just based because I don't know of any. My dad went a Rolling Stone, so I don't know. But, I mean, I was with it, though. Emmett had to grow up. He was being childish. He was showing that he was raised by mostly his mom most of his life, where he didn't have, like, a lot of that masculine presence that he started to get, like, kind of now from Darnell actually in his life. He was all right. And, you know, what's funny? His brother probably going to end up working at Smokey's.
Definitely. Especially now that Papa quit.
Yeah. Papa, he studied under Mike Todd.
Gemma cuts up every episode. I can't even deal with her. She be cutting up. Her and Jake.
And Tia. Tia the instigator.
She's absolutely an instigator. I can't believe that her dad is really like with her. Like they really I can't.
She make him feel young again.
She absolutely make him feel young again, for sure.
I like a lot, we was watching the show, and I was telling Giselle, I said, I like that Gemma and her dad got like this cute relationship.
So that her dad caught her bluff. He was like, is you messing with her? Yeah.
Yes, no, you can see it. Like
exactly.
Whenever I'm somebody bald head daddy, I'm just like Marcus.
Bald head daddy.
Most of the time, the girls who with bald head daddy be spoiled.
Absolutely.
You try to think hard. He's like, no, what you right. Think about the girls who that had a bald head daddy.
I'm thinking about shows. Because you know what? Another show that came to my mind randomly yesterday off of Twitter was Scandal. Y'all watch Scandal?
What did I?
Scandal was fire, especially Rowan's epilogues he used to have.
I just like the chemistry. I like shows where the chemistry feels believable. Like it feel like they could really on the slick, on the sly, love this a little bit too much. I haven't felt like that about a lot of shows. I felt like that about that in Hawthorne, and we already talked about Hawthorne, but yeah.
Your Hawthorne is a show. But before we get off the show, shout out to Jake for keeping it real, though.
Jake ate that part up. He didn't even waste no time. He didn't even try to sugarcoat it. He just was like, yeah. And I did. She came over and it went down.
Right. Like, man, that's weird. I'm still trying to see if they swingers or something. Because, like, they slide this man in a preacher face and everything. And went over to the man's house and... I got a back blew out.
I was shocked that they even let that scene take place, but it was not much to the scene. It was like up to your imagination type of situation. But I'm like, okay, they is grown now. So I get, you know, they trying to show us that they grown. But I was just like, this is so weird.
What, because it's Jake?
Yeah. He was like one of my favorites too until he started being fake and phony with Kevin. I couldn't fool with him no more.
I don't think he's being fake and phony. I think they just was. That's what, dude, we go through that. Like your boys ain't your boys, but your boys, your boys. If somebody could take your girl, she win yours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's real life right there. I ain't.
Like if they could take her, she won yours. Kevin was hurt.
Like, he was hurt to the core.
You know why though? He should have been listening to Emmett.
Emmett was definitely
taking him a favor. Look at Emma now. I mean, Gemma now. Yeah,
exactly. And look where he at. On to better.
Like, I ain't finna be messing with you my whole life. I'm 18, which I'm glad they put that. That's a very important part.
I agree as well, because a lot of the times when we're young, we think that that's going to be forever. And it's just for right now.
And I got my siblings that's around that age too. So I'd be like, man, you got your whole life. You not be like kind of chasing these chicks. You know? So I'd be telling Lee.
Can't tell me.
You ain't no Memphis pimp, man.
Hey, man, I stay out the way. People try to chase me.
Let me find out.
Hey, I'd be chilling, man.
When I do this, that means it's cap.
It ain't capping. I ain't pledged cap or capping, so you know. It is what it is.
By 21.
It is what it is. Yeah,
the chopper turned into a booty clapper. But before we get into the episode, we know we got to touch on Disney's favorite show.
I'm over it. I'm fed up. I don't even think I want to watch it anymore. I ain't even going to lie to you.
I want to get
you your mic some.
Can I what?
Lower it, like.
Lower it?
There you go.
Oh, okay.
It's easy to do thumbnails when I can see people's mouths and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Millie was masquerading around as a Sienna.
A lot happened, but nothing happened at all. The last two episodes.
Hey, I think it's going to shake up the next episode. Shay and Josh finally having like paradise. I mean, finna have some kind of issue.
I'm going to try to see it through, but it's not as soon as it come on, I'm tuned. Like the first couple episodes had me there, but now they need to wrap this up
and do something different. I just knew that I wanted to see like how stupid it was going to get because like, I was just trying to see the end goal. Like, I actually do believe it was a shot recently, though. The more and more we watch it, it don't seem like it was shot recently.
And why would he lie? Not that we thought he was lying, but why would he lie and say that it was shot a couple years ago? The neek dude, the dude who got kicked off.
It looks like it, though.
Yeah.
I don't know how recent it
is.
And
they, like you said, they're not talking about absolutely nothing that's going on in the real world. It's all literally about the show.
Yeah. Your boy Aaron and Jody and Mr. Frogman.
Aaron, she don't want you. She don't want you. She don't want you. She never probably did. Look,
you know what's funny? When we was watching, I said, Jody liked the daddy on the air.
She absolutely did.
It was salsa dancing.
She was feeling it. She like everybody more than she like him. That's how you know she don't like him.
And for him to even push his bed next to her, it's like, I think this stuff's so kind of like childish and immature. That's something like you would have.
That was extremely childish. And I think that's why I don't think she told the truth about why. Like, I think that, okay, maybe she did feel uncomfortable, but I don't think she told the truth. Like, that was corny and that was icky to me. Like, that was an ick to her. He already is an ick to her. So that just icked her out even worse. Yeah.
Lee, like, man, I don't know what they talking about, man.
I don't even know what show y'all speaking on anyway.
It ain't really nothing. But you know what's funny, though?
Yeah, I got my attention span for shows. I can only watch maybe two or three at one time.
Chris is very consistent on saying, hey, I'm not going to like argue with women. And Millie kept sending for him because he was removing himself from the situation. And she kept coming up there. Because
she don't like him. But I feel like her dude should have checked her because if I was him and she had called me that many bees, now I want to talk to your dude because, like, what's up? And now, like, that's what be happening. People be putting a other person in a drama. She just needed to cool out and chill out. Like, nothing he had going on really, for real, impacted her. I could understand why she was upset, but not to the level that what she was upset. She looked crazy, just like that other girl looked crazy.
Yeah, and in that specific episode, when that was happening, she, what's the word I'm looking for? He could have said right there, hey, relax. That's still a man over there. That's all he got
to
say.
Exactly. He just needed to say something to simmer her down, or he should have removed her from the, you know, from the situation. But I do still like her, but I didn't like the way she was acting.
I'm not liking her now because the subtle things she does. She has a lot of what about me, woe is me type of victimhood mentality. When they're talking to the therapist person and now Greg says, hey, well, you know, I haven't shared this, but, you know, this happened to me or whatever. And then she started rolling her eyes and cutting her eyes at him. I was like,
man, I thought I was the only one. I was like, this is awkward. Y'all both trying to release some trauma and it's not being received well by both ends. He was very in tune to what she was saying. And I think she felt like, well, this is my time to tell my trauma, not yours. But that's not how it works when y'all in a session together.
Right. I'm responding to basic comments. Well, I love them YouTube comments, man.
Oh, this is live on YouTube?
Nah, it's not live on YouTube. I did a screenshot the last night. Well, this morning, I have a snippet that Tiffany and I did, and we cut it up like, hey, you know, against cybersecurity in the thumbnail says like past security plus first. Some dude came in there with the bow tie cyber stuff, told some network plus, sec plus, AZ-900 in the home lab. And I was like, man, get out of here, bow tie cyber.
That's his handle or what?
Huh?
That's his handle, bow tie cyber.
It's a dude that got his boot camp was based around that, saying getting cybersecurity in 90 days, get all these different certs and home, apply to like 1,000 jobs. I was like, man. Relax. But a show that I probably tell y'all to watch is like two shows. Destiny may not like it because the first show I'm talking about, it takes a minute to get into it, but once it gets going, it's good. Ray Donovan. I don't know if you ever seen Ray Donovan.
Let me write that down. Oh.
Where is that at?
Yeah, it's on same. Showtime.
It's the dude, I don't know his real name. He got a different name, but he played Sabretooth in X-Men.
Ray Donovan.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's got Derwin Davis in it.
I love Derwin.
I forgot. Well, Pooch Hall. Let me call the man his real name, not Derwin. And my other show, City on the Hill.
I feel like you told me about that one.
Man, City on the Hill, dope.
You got me into evil, though. I can't shake it.
What's evil?
Is this all on Showtime?
Evil is on Paramount, Showtime. They just put it on Netflix. Only two seasons are on Netflix, though.
I've been meaning to watch it.
Oh, I thought you told me to watch it because you watched it. Yeah, I like it.
So tell me that we can watch it together.
It's not like American Horror Story, though. Like, it's not giving you the scary icks like that could be if you're not a horror movie show type of person. But I'm still enjoying it. I'm only on the second season.
Is that where my boy that played Luke Cage?
Yep, yep. Okay. I don't know if he can act.
He probably is it the bald head black guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I never watched Luke Cage either, but I did hear it was really good.
Show on Netflix? My girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right. I like, you know, there was a lot of different spinoff series. They had Daredevil, Jessica Jones. All that good stuff.
I watched Jessica Jones, but I knew they tied in a Deadpool. I mean, not Deadpool. My boy, the blind dude, Daredevil. And Iron Fist and all them.
Iron Fist was trash. I'd say that.
Iron Fist season was pretty good. And then I told you about City on the Hill. Oh, and I finished All Rise.
Did you like it all the way through?
I did. I feel like they was doing different things at certain times. Hopefully they do come back with a season four. I feel like they was like trying to work it out, you know, especially it's going with Christian Keys as the actor with the new husband and stuff like that. And they was doing some stuff that was like not believable.
So Scandal.
Especially her kissing her old boo. I can understand that part though too. She was scared and kind of just like it kind of just happened, but she still should have said something about it because she was getting on Mark about not saying nothing about why he kissed his fiance's business partner, even though she kissed him. So
just add Fargo to y'all list, please. The first episode, just the first episode is all you got to do. If you don't like the first episode, then
you say Fargo.
Yep. Yeah.
It's, I think, recently
in Apple TV. FX is the station it's on, though, but it's on Hulu.
Cool. Right. Welcome back to the Tesla Talk Podcast, the number one tech podcast in the game. And we're going to talk about some good topics for y'all today. I'm HD, cybersecurity professional. We got my girl, Sopper Shorty, here. She's in cybersecurity. And we got a guest for y'all, Mr. Lee Clayton of the Clay Talk Show. He's also in cybersecurity. And we're going to discuss various events that's been happening in the industry and also react to some TikToks like we like to do. But if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you know what to do. Leave us a review, watch the podcast, share it out. And if y'all are rocking with us right now on YouTube, please hit the thumbs up button, like, hit all, so you can be notified when we're dropping everything. And join the Patreon. We don't cost much. But It's Memorial Day, guys, and we trying to get y'all some good content today. Y'all eat some barbecue? Oh, well,
nope.
Destiny didn't eat barbecue. She's been eating seafood. She on a seafood diet.
Seafood.
Pescatarian. Hopefully I'm eating some corn, though.
No. No barbecue for me. Just another normal day. Another normal day. Just a little Subway sandwich.
What
I get from Subway? Just a little turkey sandwich, man. Nothing special. Just another day.
Oh, I'll just make sure.
Just another day, man.
I'm gonna stop messing with you on the stream. People are like, man, why is he calling this man Ock?
What is that? That got to be some Gen Z stuff,
bro. You know what Ock mean, man? You an Israelite? How you don't know young college at the Ock?
Nah.
Yeah, you ain't a real Israelite. That man cosplaying. Look. All right. So the last time y'all saw Destiny and I, we were talking about all these different healthcare breaches and also the city of Wichita. They had a breach. And Destiny wanted to update y'all on that. So we're going to let Destiny go ahead and get into that Wichita, Kansas update.
All right. So I will read what they have placed on their website in regards to an update. And then just something that I found to be interesting that I don't remember if I shared last time. So it says on May 5th, the city disclosed that it made the decision to take its computer systems offline to stop the spread of malware that locks access to computer files. In the last week, we have made great strides in our recovery efforts and look forward to resuming full operations. As part of our thorough review and assessment of this matter, we identified that certain files were copied from our computer network without permission between May 3rd and 4th. These files contain law enforcement incident and traffic information, which includes names, social security numbers, driver license, or state identification card numbers, and payment card information. We identified that this matter is related to a recently disclosed security vulnerability that affects organizations throughout the world. Our technical teams have been working around the clock to put the mitigation measures in place to resolve the issue. Further, we are coordinating with law enforcement to investigate this matter further. So I don't like that they didn't say which vulnerability it was. Because if it was affecting organizations throughout the world, then let's talk about what it is. So I don't like that piece of it. And then something I also thought was interesting was that if you just scroll down, like if I click on their airport section, their airports are impacted. So they have no public Wi-Fi available at the terminal, and arrival and departure screens are currently not working. Which is really awkward and weird because everyone doesn't have a cell phone. I know we tend to think that everybody does, but some people don't. So what are you doing while you're waiting? Like, what if your gate or something gets changed last minute, which we know happened? But that is really the update. Water still being handled the same way. If your water has been cut off, you just need to bring proof of payment and they will reinstate your services. So yeah, things are still not right and they are not exactly telling us everything. So looking forward to getting a more in-depth update from them when they disclose what the vulnerability actually was. So that's the update.
Thank you for that. I think we'll see this happen a lot. Like, I think I was telling you before this is like random. It's going to tie into it, though. The guy at Hutchins that bought our food, he used to run some hospitals in Shreveport, and of course had some more hospitals in different states and sold it or whatever. And then I was talking about like how all these breaches have been happening in healthcare. And I think I added another healthcare breach, or I saw one today. Where like
I put that one on there, too. Yep.
2-point-something million people information has like been accessed now. And I was like, man. Let me tell you about today's video sponsor, Aura. I said, at this point, I just need to go ahead and make Aura like a sponsor for everything. So I know you guys hear us talk about Aura a lot. And honestly, Destiny shared her experience with using Aura and how they notified her like right away of different things as related to her account activity, whether it's a dark web or robocallers or you name it. Same thing with me. Like, I use them all the time. Like I told y'all, what was that, 2 months ago when AT&T had the hack and let me know, wait for AT&T yep. notified me about my information. I don't know if Lee has Aura. He might have like Norton LifeLock or something. You got any like identity access protection?
Yeah, so I use Allstate Identity Protection and Identity IQ, which both monitors dark webs for your information and alerts you on things you should take action on. So,
see, nah, man, you got to use R because R can do that. It can monitor your financial transactions as a password vault.
It literally hooks into it. Like, there's really nothing else to me. I don't think that they could do because they are so all inclusive to what services they provide, and they're very price friendly, especially if you're like an individual user. I think it was like $12 or something.
Yep. A month. And if you are concerned about the price, just use the link in the description and they'll give you a free 14-day trial of Aura to see if data brokers have access to your data. So check that out. Because like I said, at this point, you're going to have some type of identity protection on yourself because all the companies keep getting hacked.
Yeah.
It's not about if, but when.
When. That's another subject.
When. But that's cool. Now that we got that out of the way, I found an article that I thought was pretty fitting for us because, let me go solo. Destiny and I were talking about, do you remember you sent me that article about like DAOs is going to start using like AI for facial recognition?
Yep.
And so did you see that I put an article up here that said I was misidentified as shoplifter by facial recognition tech?
Yeah, I did. And I felt some type of way reading that for sure, because what if that happens to me? Like, that's first of all embarrassing, but two, you just don't even want to feel like that when you know for a fact that you didn't do what you're being accused, like she was, of shoplifting basically. Hey, and then also like, do they got to notify you that they got these services before you go into their store?
Oh, that's a good question. This is
Is it just you come in here? It is what it is. Like they because it's using biometrics, they gotta like that doesn't. It's not making sense to me.
Let me go read the article real quick because I skimmed it because it was like late at night when I edited it. But I want to just let the viewers know about this. So Sarah needed some chocolate. She had one of those days, so she wandered into a home bargain store. Within less than a minute, she's approached by a store worker who comes up to her and says, "You're a thief. You need to leave the store." Sarah, who wants to remain anonymous, was wrongly accused after being flagged by a facial recognition system called FaceWatch. She says after her bag was searched, she was led out of the shop and told she was banned from all stores using the technology. So I guess now we do need to research, like, if anybody is or feel like doing it right now, somebody look up FaceWatch facial recognition. That way we can kind of deep dive into it real quick.
Oh, well.
She says, "I was just crying and crying the entire journey home. I thought, oh, will my life be the same? I'm going to be looked at as a shoplifter when I've never stolen." FaceWatch later wrote to Sarah and acknowledged it had made an error. FaceWatch is used in numerous stores in the UK, including Budgen, Sports Direct, and Cost Cutter to identify shoplifters. The company declined to comment on Sarah's case to the BBC, but did say its technology helped to prevent crime and protect frontline workers. Home bargains, too, declined to comment. It's not just retailers who are turning into this technology. On a humid day in Bethnal Green in East London, we joined the police as they positioned a modified white van on the high street. There they go in the white vans. Real subtle, guys. Cameras attached to its roof capture thousands of images of people's faces. If they match people on the police watch list, officers would speak to them and potentially arrest them. Unflattering references to the technology, like in the process to a supermarket checkout where your face becomes a barcode. So this is a lot. I'm not going to go through the whole article, but I literally just thought about the use case of, there was a case like this a while back where And let me get everybody on the screen.
I don't like it. The more I read it, the more I don't like it. And the more I want to know. Well, this is in the UK, so to be fair, yeah. You know, they may can do this over there. But it says face watch matches faces against known offenders as they enter your premises and sends an alert instantly. Like, what if you committed a petty crime? Not saying any crimes are okay to be committed, but like, what if you stole a sucker or some baby milk and now people are being alerted when you enter the premises? That's, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. And then it says a database is shared by geography with every face watch subscriber, deterring thieves operating in your area. One thing it said I wanted to highlight was FaceWatch is the only shared national facial recognition database. Simple, secure, and UK law compliant. So yes, we are the premier choice for retail security in the UK. Proven to stop crime before it happens. It's time for retail businesses to take a stand and proactively tackle the issue of theft head on. And it's a cloud-based system. I don't like it. I don't like
everybody
it.
Everybody over there, Pooh Shiesty mask.
Yes, people sent us all walking in with the COVID mask again, the N95s.
I don't, but the store said they checked her bag, didn't say they found anything, but they still banned her. That was,
yeah. I ain't gonna lie. If they take me to jail for something I do, I'm hitting them with the toothpick. Take me to jail.
But this is not a new concept, though. This is not a new concept. I don't know if you all notice on your iPhones, it does the same thing. If you have a lot of pictures with faces in it, they can match against how many instances of face. So now they're just using that to make an alert for known people who's probably been fined before for certain types of things. So
I want to know
this case, most of the time, like for example, my Google Photos, it's only matching them based on people I created in my Google Photos. So I've said, oh, this is Lee, this is Destiny. So it knows them. It knows what they look like as kind of like as a baby. But in this instance, somebody's
this face is without your authorization, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, we don't know.
It may be one of those things to where, hey, as soon as you walk into the store, you automatically give us consent to video photograph you.
Exactly. And they said they were compliant with the law, so it got to obviously be something along those lines.
And I'm willing to bet. I got a homie in the UK, so I probably can ask Dr. Blick. So I'm trying to remember to ask Dr. Blick about this. What you laughing at?
Dr. Blick.
Yeah. You watch One Piece?
It's been years.
But yeah, it's a dude on there named Trafalgar Blick. And so he likes Trafalgar. So his name on Twitter is Dr. Blick.
Okay.
But anyway, if it's meant to kind of disrupt you from petty crimes and stealing stuff like that, I'm willing to bet it's more impoverished neighborhoods. So we know
who's being targeted. Exactly. And like, how far back is this going?
Right. What is the statute of limitations?
More details definitely needed. And what happens if you are a offender from the past? That doesn't mean you automatically get banned from
That's what I'm saying. Like you could have been rehabilitated. So why y'all trying to treat me like that?
Yeah, well.
Not me, guys, by the way. I'm just saying. The person, whoever committed the crime that's in their database.
Yeah.
So Lee, I know one of your topics was about this MITRE virtual intrusion.
Yeah, so I find this one very interesting because MITRE, as we all know, is one of the biggest corporations for standardizing cybersecurity frameworks. They are mostly known for their MITRE attack framework, which goes into the details of how adversaries and threat actors get into systems and ways to avoid it, how to detect it. But this also goes to show that even corporations like MITRE are not exempt from cyber attacks, which this article is titled, "The Hackers Created Rogue VMs to Evade Detection in Recent MITRE Cyber Attacks." Back a few weeks ago, the MITRE Corporation revealed that the cyber attack targeting for a nonprofit company towards towards late December 2023, exploiting zero-day flaws in Ivanti, which has been going around for a while now. Ivanti's having a lot of different zero days, involved a threat actor using virtual and rogue machines in its VMware environment. And to sum up this article, they use advanced techniques to evade detections and got into MITRE's unclassified network. But being who they are, they were able to detect this breach and took the network offline and disclosed this vulnerability. And they was able to put patches in and return to normal operations. But the significance behind this is that we always talk about things like multi-factor authentication, making sure you have that in place. Of course, a company like MITRE has those types of things in place, and the actor was able to bypass all of their detections and defense in depth concepts. So for this to happen to this corporation makes me think that now businesses should take cybersecurity more seriously, and the fact that one mishap can cause a lot of chaos. And they really didn't explain what happened in their attack, such as any data being exfiltrated or any type of losses that occurred. But being able to react to these types of things is what probably mitigated the outcome being worse than what it was. So
cybersecurity is not going anywhere. And neither is MFA.
Yeah, but you know, you have a lot of businesses who say let's cut the budget and they want to play the cheap route with coming to cybersecurity. So this just shows that you can't cut corners with implementing real cybersecurity in your business, especially if an attacker wants in, they're going to get their way in. So it's not about, like you said, if, it's about when. But when it happens, what do you have in place to mitigate the fallout, right?
Absolutely. That was just kind of similar to what we talked about on our last pod. It was an attorney's office, I believe, and they fired their help desk guy or their IT guy, some guy that was related to helping them with their security, and they got breached and lost their biggest client, and business may never be the same.
Yep.
Right. I was looking at the article a little bit, too. You want to talk about Syncor America's health data?
Sure. So I have, what is the title of this? U.S. pharma giant Syncora says Americans' health information stolen in data breach. So like our last three pods, we've mentioned a different healthcare company that's been compromised. So I guess that nothing's changed. Nothing's new here. We'll see if we see one next episode. But Syncora says it is notifying affected individuals that their personal and highly sensitive medical information was stolen during a cyber attack and data breach earlier this year. In letters to affected individuals and sent out this week, Syncora says that the data from its systems includes patient names, their postal addresses and date of birth, as well as information about their health, diagnosis, and medications. The pharma giant said it had initially obtained patients' data through partnerships, so vendors, with the drug makers it works with in connection with its patient support programs. So that includes patients of AbbVie, Acadia, Bayer, Novartis, and other companies. Syncora has not yet described the nature of the attack, which began February 21st and was not publicly disclosed until the company filed notice with their regulators a week later. So the company handles about 20% of the pharmaceuticals sold and distributed throughout the U.S. One of their spokespersons said in an email that they are unwilling to say if the company has determined how many individuals are affected by the breach and how many the company has notified to date. So they're saying that this is also no connection between the incident At Change Healthcare in Ascension. But according to the public data breach notifications that were filed by Cencora, they have notified about 500,000 individuals since learning of the breach. And it is expected to be far higher. On their website, it does state that they have served at least 18 million patients to date. So that is what's going on with Cencora. They did make about $262 billion in revenue last year, which was up 10% on the previous year. So they also have not noted how much they spend on cyber. I would like to know how much their cyber insurance is for. What do you think about another partnership, a.k.a. a vendor, being the culprit of the equation? We've also seen that very consistently in our last few episodes too.
I think the issue is that most vendors probably don't have the money. These people made $262 billion in revenue. That vendor, that third party, probably didn't make that.
Oh, for sure.
They probably have so many companies that are servicing that something is dropped. They're dropping the ball somewhere on that third party side, which is like, I think I tell elitists a lot too, but most of these breaches are third party now.
Yeah.
Like
third party risk management.
So do you feel like, because we've seen that, hopefully the viewers are seeing the consistency throughout what we've been explaining, but do you feel like there has to be some responsibility on the company that's seeking out that third party vendor? Do you feel like they should, I mean, I know that they're working with multiple customers, so things would be different, but is there a way that we can go about making sure that they are receiving, if they do need financial support or a security, you know, better security implementation? What do you think could happen there?
That's not up to the main company. I would say that would be the third party's responsibility, but it is the main party's responsibility to ensure that their third party are taking or have a program or cybersecurity practices in place if said working with main vendors. So if they do not have any types of things in place, then that should be the goal for both of those entities to have that conversation, that program started up, regulations that state how, if you want to continue doing business with us, then we must ensure that you have X, Y, and Z practices in place. And that's how you start doing your third party risk management things and mitigate supply chain attacks and things like that.
I like risk management and auditing. I think those will be areas where we'll see an increase in the future because a lot of people feel different ways about audits, but audits help you figure out where you need to maybe place some focus. And so I feel like if you're interested, that's a good place that you can also look and understand more about GRC and just risk reduction in terms of cybersecurity as a whole, because you can really audit just about anything. But if you really understand the background to it, that could also be an area of interest for people. I see that becoming bigger. As we keep seeing these occurring, people are going to have to get assessments, audits, however they want to word it, performed more frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my stance on it was going to be like, it is tough. Like the main companies, they're working on their business operations. They make sure they're good. I don't even know if it's going to be like, you got the third party, like one of those, like who's policing the police type of thing, like who's making sure the third party is doing what they need to do, like an outside, like risk management company or something like that, as their job's going to be to make sure like they're good, because the main company can do that to a certain extent without like having so many resources, but it's really not on them all the way. I mean, there's going to be some sort of checks and balances that they need to make sure that, you know, after that, they're going to be like, okay, I'm not going to check in with people every month, say, hey, you had a breach today, because we already have all these different rules put in place that say, hey, these healthcare companies, finance companies, whatever this company is, has to let people know by X amount of days if they, you know, suffer like a big breach or something like that. But for the most part, they're not doing weekly checkups on like going to check, you know, their environment and make sure they got the controls in place. That's on that company. But when it comes to them handling their data, it's just like, what you want to do. So that's the hard part. And the only people who's really suffering is really the citizens.
I don't like that it said that people's medical diagnosis and their medications, like, obviously you can't control what information is released, but that is definitely something that most people obviously wouldn't want anyone else to know about them. That's why we have HIPAA.
I blame Kendrick. Nah, but I don't know, man. This stuff is this like crazy. Like I was talking to the guy at the Hutchins about like all the healthcare breaches, and I was just talking about that different thing. Like, you know, I want to pick his brain a little bit more about that, even though I know he's not in the day to day as much, and want to ask like, what are y'all looking into? Like, I actually really want to go up to Baylor Scott and White and like find whoever was over there, like their director, and like, yo, what y'all plan on doing? Because y'all denied me in 10 minutes.
Yeah, that just goes to show what they're taking more seriously is not the security.
Okay.
Definitely.
Until it happens to them. And then they want to blow all the whistles and sound all the alarms.
Well.
But I think the best thing about it, what's been happening this recently is the like the 8K notification, like them having to get that updated to say, yeah, we were compromised. This is what happened, until they go do their investigation. So at least people are being notified a lot faster than in the past.
I want to talk about this real quick. The Microsoft new recall AI tool. And then the article says Microsoft's new recall AI tool may be a privacy nightmare. Come on, bro. It's stopping me from reading that. Well, pretty much, all this does is, and somebody can fact check me on this, but pretty much all it does is the Copilot will pretty much take snapshots of everything you're doing on your computer. And it's supposed to be encrypted locally on your machine. So even in an event, if it was compromised, that person would not be able to get in it because they would need like a password or something else to get into the information. But there are different, people feel different ways about it. Like one way they can feel like, hey, similar to like your cell phone, and we already know like your computers and stuff do this like on the internet with your cookies or whatnot, like figuring out what you're interested in, what are you viewing, what you're accessing. But I think it is somewhat of an intrusion of like privacy, because I'm like, what is the point of it like snapshotting everything I'm doing on my computer? I don't really like need that information. We already got history on our browsers. What do I need a history for, like just in the system? Now, to play devil's advocate, I could see, and this is the other hard part, I don't know how this would work enterprise-wide on companies needing to see this information, far as like if you got insider threat or
insider risk, yeah.
Yeah, or compromise, and you want to say, okay, let's go back and see what, you know, patient zero, let's see what they actually happened on the machine. Now, I can see the great use case for that, but I don't ever see this being implemented, just because they may feel like we don't know what Microsoft's doing with the data. And that's why like a lot of companies have not moved just strictly over to generative AI and using all this AI stuff, because they still are worried about who is accessing our data when we use all this AI stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like the idea of the Copilot powered devices?
What you mean? Elaborate some, I guess. Because I use
Copilot. The new computers that are like, okay, I haven't done a ton of research on it, but I was doing some research. So there's new computers that are going to be basically more involved in the AI. Like they'll be able to search all of your like basically your everything on your computer, your hard drive, to look for stuff or help you, just like using Copilot, but more so for yourself, because it's based on the content, I guess, you would have on your personal device. Yeah. But
I don't know about that.
No, it's a no for you.
I don't know about that one. I don't know about that, or how would that work in a enterprise environment, because all said and all, this these applications, they somehow, some way talk back to their original vendor when they're doing updates and scanning for new CVEs against them. They send telemetry data back. So
Hold on, wait. Glad you said that. You know, we got to educate people on the podcast. Can you tell them what telemetry means?
So the telemetry is just basically correlating the data that's found on a machine versus what's readily available in a basically a database or such from a company that's being able to make sense of what the data is doing and what is being targeted against. I guess a good example would be like VirusTotal that uses telemetry to say, okay, we found these other hosts or these other companies saying that this is a virus, so you need to take care of it if you have this file on your machine or whatever. Stuff like that, but that data going back into Microsoft would be something that a enterprise would probably not want to have because, you know, there are proprietary documents that people may save or keep on their machine and having a third party having, you know, just a little bit of access to it may be a big risk that companies may not want to take or some may not care. But I would see a lot that would say no to that. But yeah.
Good job. Good job on that.
Good job on that. What? What would that say? It's like a CompTIA test? Good job.
For the watchers or listeners, I don't know if y'all saw my episode on Beez's Day of My Tech Life, but I tried to make sure all throughout that episode, when I was saying concepts that I know I'm familiar with, that I explained them to the listeners so they understand what I'm talking about. So it's just not like I'm just up there yapping. So
or just assuming they know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. But the short end of the stick is that Copilot reading local documents. Yeah.
So I know that makes me think about one day we should do a deep dive on like the Ashley Madison stuff.
Can we please watch it? Because I didn't watch it yet. I was waiting on you to say you was going to start it.
I seen it on Twitter somewhere, but I definitely feel like there'd be something cool to look into.
My best friend sent it to me and said she thought it would be something interesting because it had to do with tech and stuff like that. So I heard about it when it happened, but I would love to really get down to the gritty because I know there's some privacy violations going on there.
So it's a site that's used for like people to pretty much cheat. Infidelity, escorts and stuff like that.
Yeah. And so basically it got breached and people's were like, my life is ruined. And some people's lives were ruined.
That reminds me of a TikTok I saw where a dude was talking about his friend majored in a worthless major and couldn't make no money. And he has a addiction that a lot of people suffer from. And so the guy decided he was going to try that line of work and found a job description that told him to give him a social, upload a picture of him, his Instagram information, all that kind of stuff. And he sent them a picture and they said, hey, we finna send all this stuff to your Instagram friends unless you send us $1,000. And so he'd been in therapy talking about it. Now, I don't know how real or not it was, but it was funny. That's a short version. That's a short ass version.
We got to do better.
It's getting crazy out here.
It's getting wicked.
wicked.
Wow.
I wanted to touch on briefly that the people in the Uval shooting were trying to sue Activision and Meta. First of all, they should be suing themselves because it's their fault they raised a shooter. And so I say the families of the victims of the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uval, Texas are suing Activision and Meta, as well as gun manufacturer Daniel Defense. The families bringing the lawsuits are represented by attorney Josh Koskoff. And specifically, the suit points to Activision's popular Call of Duty video game franchise, which it describes as a cunning form of marketing that has helped cultivate a new youthful consumer base for the AR-15 assault rifle. And Instagram, the photo app owned by Meta, which the suit claims not only promulgates flimsy, easily circumvented rules that ostensibly prohibits firearm advertising. In fact, these rules function as a playbook for the gun industry. In the statement, Activision expressed its deepest sympathies to the families and communities who remain impacted by the senseless acts of violence, but said academic and scientific research continues to show that there's no causal link between video games and gun violence. I actually agree. We also reached out to Meta for additional comment. Yeah, they're going to have an uphill battle with them. Listen, parent your kids better. That's kind of how you stop that. Don't be listening to all that emo music, Eminem type stuff, whatever they got going on. Like, kick your kid door open, take the door off the hinges sometimes if you don't trust them. And if they have too much like free time, you need to really just get into their space. Look at what they're looking at on the internet. Matter of fact, this is a good use case for Copilot.
Oh my gosh, I saw this. Speaking of you, whatever you just said, see what their kids are looking at. We got to stop thinking that that's an invasion of privacy, because we were young and we know what was out on the internet and the things that we were doing. So you should absolutely be paying attention to what your kid is doing. You might need to get a little more technical around the house and block a couple sites or something. But I seen this video on TikTok of this girl. I should have sent it to you. I wasn't even thinking. It was a mom who basically had a camera like set up facing her daughter's computer. And so I guess anytime the daughter was on the computer, the camera was on. When she was off, the camera was off, obviously. So she did have some privacy in her room. But I think that that's a good idea. And like, the more you know, the more you understand how predatorial things can be on the internet, especially for your children, the youth. So it's more so about watching what they consume, especially when they're young and you have like the little tablet babies, making sure you know what they're watching, because even that stuff gets weird.
Yeah. But security engineers will be like, I'm just going to forward all the logs into my own SIM. Which you could do. Like all these apps, like if you got like a Netgear or some type of router in your house, it can like, it got all the stuff that it visits. Like AT&T smart Wi-Fi.
I love app. It.
It's always telling you like something was blocked or something. So you can start seeing like kind of what type of sites it's going through or the stuff on your computer. You can get real granular with it. But like you said, like a lot of families, they don't know that. And as kids, we were like the, you know, me
I
and-
I guess we were, yeah.
Lee argues with me all the time, but I still call him Gen Z. But
not
Gen Z.
No. 95.
Gen Z.
95.
94. But when we were kids coming up, everybody, like, for example, high school tried to keep you off MySpace. But yep. The kids found whatever proxy to work. So we are using the same proxy.
What? Go to this website. Yep.
So it's one of the things, like, instead of just trying to tell the kids no all the time, I think me and you talked about this on an episode a while back, but we need to explain to them about internet safety and being safe.
Absolutely.
On different things, why you don't want them to look at stuff. And that way they want, like, you know what? They don't just want me to not have fun. They're trying to protect me. Because that's the hardest.
And it's the good thing about that is it's not hard to show them evidence of things that have went south, you know, because there was no, I don't want to say like the parent wasn't involved, because, you know, but just because there wasn't any eyes on the situation in the way that it should have been, like you got young girls talking to older men who are being sickly on TikTok, and you got the little kids on TikTok who got the adults in the comments and in the inboxes. It's like you have to be mindful of those things. If you paying the bill, ain't nothing wrong with snatching that phone up and seeing what's going on in that phone. And maybe you need to reevaluate some things and have a conversation with your child, but you really got to be on it. This is 2024. It's not a game. It's not a game. They could be telling people your address on the game. That's what kids do. They get into it when you don't know where I stay.
Don't mind. They got to be behind a VPN or something.
Exactly. Yep.
Because people do. The thing is, you can do this, or or your kid may not be interested in these certain things, but the next kid at school is, hey, they told me to go to this.
Yep. Then, now you're just curious.
Yes.
Yeah. But that is where the relationship part comes in, so they can come talk to you about it. But we do this thing called trust but verify. So as much as I trust my kids, I'm going to always verify what they're doing anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm still in a generation of raised by parents that say, I ain't one of your little friends. Pretty much long gone. They trying to be that. Like, it's a whole nother topic, but mamas be out here competing with their daughters, and they trying to be like, go to the same clubs and stuff as them. You be seeing women be 40, 45, trying to compete with 20-year-olds. Like, it'd be like, girl, why you got no family somewhere? Go sit down somewhere. Why you trying to be a hot girl?
Hot girl.
For real. I see it all the time.
Keep your eyes on the prize, and the prize is the kid. I was even hanging with my friend one day, and her baby was watching kids YouTube, which I hate. I absolutely hate it. It's like, what, these grown people unwrapping toys? It's just, I don't like it. I don't like anything that has to do with it. And the video she was watching wasn't an inherently bad video, but I was just like, what is the point of this? Like, do you know she watching this? Like, what is going on? But kids, those are the videos that got 300 million views and likes and all that, because that's I don't like it. Why do the kids? It's like Miss Rachel, but not in a good way.
Yeah, it's not hard, because you can lock down YouTube Kids to where it's only stuff that like you search. Therefore, it's not recommending nothing. So that's one of the ways.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, which I used to do for the
kids.
It's
those recommendations for sure.
Because sometimes they be watching some stupid stuff. You're like, where did they get that from? Okay.
Like a grown person in a ball pit full of balls. That's weird.
Make little songs about like farting and all type of fun.
It's just weird.
Yeah. But, I'm always calling Lee while the kid's going crazy to give him a little birth control.
Man.
Like, I know you got some noise cancellation headphones, ain't it?
Yeah, you definitely need them.
I got some AirPods. They good. And I got these whenever I want to wear them. They got real noise cancellation on these bad boys. Compliments of pay for. Let's talk. Hey, listen. We was listening to Boss Man D-Lo before the episode. And he got a song talking about finesse. I can show you how to finesse. Listen. I need a new company. Figure out what they incentive is for you to get like home office stuff. These is like almost $500 headphones. I didn't come out of my pocket at all for these. Neither I did for my chair. Like, one of my chairs I got for free. Matter of fact, this one I got for free because I did a video like on it. And then the other chair that they pretty much kind of paid for. So it's different ways you can finesse. Like, get you an iPad or something. Or sometimes they don't consider iPads laptops. But at this point, my iPad Pro is almost pretty much really like a mini Mac, low key.
Yeah, as long as you got a keyboard.
It got a Magic Keyboard. I use my SSD with it. So I'm just like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I know. Did you want to talk about that PC tattletale?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The dark side of spyware. I do. So, spyware app PC tattletale was hacked and its website defaced. So, U.S. made consumer grade spyware app. It's called PC Tattletale, has been hacked and its internal data published to its own website. I'm going to repeat that again. PC Tattletale has been hacked and its internal data was published to its own website. The hacker posted a message on their website late Friday claiming to have hacked the servers containing their operations. The spyware maker's website briefly contained links containing files from its servers, which appeared to include some victim stolen data. TechCrunch is not linking to the site given the ongoing risk to victims whose private data has already been compromised. Their founder, Brian Fleming, did not return an email requesting comments. It's not clear if Fleming can receive email due to their ongoing outage. The hacker did not provide a specific motivation for the breach. The hack comes several days after the security researcher said he found and reported a vulnerability in the spyware app itself, which leaked the screenshots of the devices it was planted on. So there's a researcher, Eric Daigle, said he did not publish specific details of the flaw because PC Tattletale ignored requests to fix the vulnerability. What else do we have? The hacker who compromised and defaced their website did not exploit the vulnerability that was found, but said that their servers could be tricked into turning over private keys for their AWS services account, which grants access to their operations. So the software that they create is basically a remote access app that is referred to as Stalkerware because of its ability to track people without their knowledge or consent. But it allows the person who planted the app to remotely view the target's either Android or Windows device and its data from anywhere in the world. So the app does run invisibly in the background, allegedly by the company, on their workstations, and it cannot be detected. But let's see. Earlier this week, TechCrunch also revealed that PC Tattletale was used to compromise the front desk check-in systems at several Wyndham hotels across the U.S., which leaked screenshots of guest details and customer information. Wyndham would not say whether it authorized or allowed its franchise hotels to use spyware apps on its systems. And this is the latest example of a spyware maker losing control of the highly sensitive and personal data it collects from the devices of its target. Circling back to that software being found on the Wyndham hotels, like, I want to know more information about that, because what are they doing there? Because you can just blacklist websites. Why are you? I want to know more about that piece there.
But I was saying that so the PC Tattletale, that's a spyware that you can actually buy and then put on machines, or is it a spyware that comes on a machine? Like,
no, you can buy it and put it on either an Android or a Windows device. Yeah. And allegedly it's undetectable.
So maybe they're trying to use it as some type of, I don't know why they would use that when they can probably just have like a DLP solution.
That's what, like, it might make sense to them, but to me, it doesn't make sense because you can already see what your employees are doing, right? So,
can they?
A lot of
people, you find out when you work enough places that a lot of these people don't have
the proper logs.
Yeah,
not even logs.
They don't even have training.
Training, yeah, they don't have none of that. But the interesting piece about this, to me, was the basically the person who discovered these vulnerabilities who wasn't taken seriously. So this has been a common thing with platforms like BugCrowd, where people are intentionally finding critical and high vulnerabilities on these different web applications from different vendors and corporations, and the only response they get is, this is intended to be like this, or this is standard operations, or it's not a critical finding, and have no intentions of fixing. So, hey, if someone is trying to get paid for their work, because finding these vulnerabilities is maybe easy or maybe some time-consuming things, so people just want to get paid for the work that they did to inform you of some patches or some holes that you may have in your software or network or whatever, and if you don't take them seriously, then you know things like this can be exposed. So
I think it's one thing, I like that, I think it's one thing for you not to know, but a completely another foolish mistake for someone to tell you and you not to act upon it. Like, this is not a game at all. This is not a game. Luckily it wasn't any ransomware or anything that locked anything up, but even still, it's embarrassing because someone told you and you turned a blind eye and now look at you.
Yeah. Just trying to avoid payout. That's what that is usually. Because when someone reports a vulnerability, they usually want some type of, you know, cash reward. Hey, something small for me taking my efforts to find this out.
And it's usually something small, like you said. So why not just give it to them now? Now you got to pay all these fines associated with what just happened.
Yeah. Back to the original point, being cheap. The cheap route does not work out. The cheap route does not work out.
Not at all. Not at all. Again, I found this article last minute. My guy Marcus Wells posted it on LinkedIn. And Eric and I actually covered this last summer. It was a job posting in Dallas, actually, that I was talking about. Now, they tried to cover it up saying it was a disgruntled employee saying they only wanted white people to apply for the job.
Oh, I remember that.
I remember that, too.
And so, like, this says, after whites only job posting, VA tech company hit with fine from Justice Department. And so the company is based in Loudoun County, Virginia. And the job posting by Ashburn-based Arthur Grand Technologies. This was, March 2023. Said the company was only looking for U.S.-born citizens, white, who are local within 60 miles from Dallas, Texas. Don't share with candidates. The Civil Rights Division, Immigrant and Employees' Rights Section opened an investigation in May 2023 and determined that Arthur Grand discriminated based on citizenship status and national origin after a recruiter working for Arthur Grand subsidiary in India posted the advertisement on the job website Indeed. Good old Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Caught. I think Indeed was where they got caught last time.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is referring to when how they got caught from Indeed, because yeah, I got the, and it'd be funny if I could try to play back that episode and like put a little piece of it right here. I might try to do that. It is shameful that in the 21st century, we continue to see employers use whites only and only U.S.-born jobs posting to lock out otherwise eligible job candidates of color, said Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Justice Department Civil Rights Division in the release. I share the public's outrage as Arthur Grand's appalling and discriminatory ban on job candidates based on citizenship status, national origin, color, and race. So that's pretty much what they touched on that. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting. As I'm reading that, all I'm thinking of is, Billy, how much for some pie? Especially how much it's going to take for the white-only pies to turn into nigger pies?
I love that it was caught red-handed, and I love that they got a fine for it. And we'll see what happens going forward with them. Call it out. Put it out there so we can know who you is, so we can stay away, because we don't want to work there anyway.
I love that for them.
I love that for them for sure.
Some people said the fine was like only $40,000 or so. So,
not enough.
Yeah, basically for a multi-million-dollar company, maybe. Who? This is a slap on the wrist. Whatever. Now we know just to not put it publicly that we don't care about, you know, other people.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah.
Now let's get. Now I want to get into some of the fun stuff that people like that we do. This is called TikTok Hour. And what we do is we react to TikToks. Let me see if I got this right here. There we go. We react to TikToks that got to do with business or job search, you name it. And we get to react to them in real time. Now, this particular one we're going to share is from my guy, Kyrie, GRC professional. He's always keeping it real on the talk. And so we want to talk about it. Make sure the volume is up. Turn it all the way up. All right. Y'all let me know. Can y'all hear?
The cybersecurity lifestyle that's being told to you guys on social media is, yeah. There are a lot of creators in this space who, you know, they're on jets all the time. Or they're.
Can y'all hear?
Yeah. Can you maybe turn it up just a little bit?
I need this.
Because I can't hear. I can hear it. It's just a little bit low, but I can hear it.
The thing is, like, the way, I don't know how to make it like be louder. Let me see something. I think I can figure it out on my end.
Probably something like making this screen share a primary audio or something. I don't know.
Let me see if this works. Tell me if this louder.
Where they're traveling all the time, etc. Not hating on them. Kudos to them. I just want to make sure that I'm level setting your expectation of what it means to actually be in this industry. Cybersecurity can definitely be a launch point into that type of lifestyle, right? So I'm not saying that they're not living that life, but for the average everyday cybersecurity professional, you're not going to be paying $16,000 a month for an apartment, riding around in a Rolls Royce, Like, this is not, that's not what this is. Now, of course, you can maybe build up your skills from your cybersecurity career and go into business for yourself, which maybe can provide that kind of lifestyle. Or you can work your way up at a company to where you're making, you know, $500,000 a year as a VP of cybersecurity or whatever the case may be. Or you can become a cybersecurity kind of like creator like I am. I know there's a lot of avenues for monetization that way. But cybersecurity as an industry by itself, it can provide you realistically with like a upper middle class kind of lifestyle, which really is not bad at all. But I just don't want you guys to get the perception that you're going to get an entry level role in cybersecurity, and then the next day you're going to be on, you know, private jets and flying out to these different cities and stuff like that. That's not the case. And again, I'm not hating on the people in this industry who have been able to build a business from their skills or who have been able to build a business off of their cybersecurity content. That's exactly what I'm trying to do, to be completely transparent, right? But I also want to make sure that, yeah, like, I want you guys to have reasonable expectations.
All right. Mic drop on that one. I know Lee got a lot to say about that.
I mean, hey, it's the same story, different day. Content creators, you know, they're selling you content, you know. So if you're selling, somebody's buying it. So, you know, they're gonna eat it up all the time. It's been going on for some years now, so it's really up to the person to just actually look around and actually pay attention to people who, this is why I'm not so big on the content creation type of thing. Look at the real professionals who's actually in this field, who's not making a video about every single day in their life at work. I'm doing absolutely nothing with my private jet around in the backyard. If you're actually working in the field, you have a job. So a job is, you go to work, you're making your money to pay your bills, and it's really that. It's not the concept is, hey, people want to live a lifestyle that is above and beyond a corporation, which is understandable. But the way it's being presented is that all you have to do is pay for my content or pay for my whatever they're selling, and you can have this lifestyle too. And it's just 99% chance not that you'll get. It's not going to be that. So, yeah.
I know Destiny's like she was itching to talk.
I am, because I love that video, and I love people who really just tell the truth, because it's not always going to start off that way for you. Not to say, like he said, that it can't, but it can. But 9 times, 8 times, 7 times out of 10, that's not really the case for everybody. And it's really important that you have people in your life to help you level set, because if you keep shooting for the stars and you never just shoot for the sky and start somewhere, you know, if you don't shoot 6 feet up, how are we already shooting for the stars? So I just feel like I feel like that's what people, those are the type of videos and people that if you're trying to break into the industry or, you know, you're just curious, those are the type of people that you should look at, because they're telling you the truth. And I feel like in the last 2 years, at least for me, I've seen cybersecurity go to this big influencer world where, like he said, you're seeing things that aren't actually realistic, or even like, there are a lot of people that work in tech, but they're not technical, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I just feel like we have to be more honest. And just like, you know, they say, like, you are what you consume. If you consume on the regular those people who are selling you those click here, buy here, get rich courses, you'll make 6 figures after you take my course. If you only consume, you know, your appetite with that type of content, then you aren't really gaining the full benefits that you could be from people who are telling you that it's not going to be like this. We're not saying you can't get there, but right off the bat, it's very rare that that is just what people get to experience. So those are the type of people that you want to make sure that you're following and that you're engaged with, because they're not trying to just sell you something. with hopes of getting you here, which I feel like kind of brings us to our next awesome video.
Yeah, you know, when I say stuff like that, you know, I'm a hater.
No.
Who calls you a hater for that? Please.
You already know who called me. They didn't call me a hater for that. They just called me a hater for a question of common sense.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if people see me saying, hey, I feel like that was a shot at somebody. We say you ain't going to be in a private jet. Because I only know one person who be in a private jet.
Hey, it's a couple of them, but yeah. It's mainly one.
Yeah, because I ain't seen nobody else talking about that was in a private jet. You know, that's internationally renowned. Subject matter expert.
Destiny, get your boy.
I feel like it's a lot of it also has to do with, like, you can tell who's an influencer. Like, you can tell. It feels influency. It doesn't feel like this is somebody that you can relate to at all. You feel like where they're at, you can never attain that when you're watching certain individuals. I'm specifically talking to the people who aren't in the field, who are trying to be interested or trying to make that transition. Like, just like you can see when someone is doing like real estate scams, you can kind of see the same thing in this industry. You can tell just looking at the content.
I'm gonna tell you a secret that I've learned being on the internet the last 7 years. I'm actually gonna do a dedicated video, like all the MLMs I've like either been a part of or ran into. Cause as career coach and people not being able to find jobs, some people are savages on LinkedIn trying to trick people with no money to go do their MLM to so they could be, you know, make six figures per month selling lotion or something. Like, so I'm definitely gonna deep dive on that. But honestly, what you also find out a lot of times is most of the time the people who are trying to convince or sell you or stuff are the people that's getting paid off of what they're selling you, and they're not actually doing it. And I'll give you an example. It's a guy on my Instagram I see all the time who's teaching people. For example, he's not teaching people how to get better at podcasting. His whole niche is I'm teaching how to monetize your podcast or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, you can't really show me how to monetize the podcast if you don't have a successful podcast of your own. Like, the stuff that you're saying is cool, but people got to want to come on your podcast. People got to actually be decent at podcasting. And if every time all you're trying to do is every time I see a video of you, you're trying to convince me that you're making this money with these probably rented foreign cars or whatever, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. My favorite podcasters aren't trying to show people how to make money from podcasting. They're just podcasting.
Exactly.
So that's what I just leave you with. Like, so if people are trying to convince you of something, you know, it may be too good to be true.
It usually is.
Started from the bottom, now we here.
What do you say? Good afternoon, Mark the Room.
Yeah.
You got to keep it tight.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. This next one I think is a good one. Let me share that one. This is one. And look at this right here. He says, remember, so Bowtie Cyber is the person that talked about like all these people that got these security plus. And people always have to talk about data and numbers. And people don't understand that I can manipulate any data the way I want to make it benefit my purpose. So a lot of times when people say, oh, you know, a security plus, all these people that make like six figures would have got security plus. They are never saying they also got 2-3 years experience. They're just saying they got security plus. So the novice's brain goes, doom, I need to go get security plus. And then I'm going to get me a job that makes these figures. That's what people think about, because that's how CompTIA and certain people market their security plus. Because they're going to get anything. But truth be told, if so many people got a certification, that means it's really not that special. But let's play this. This guy actually makes a lot of sense a lot of times. So he come across my TikTok timeline.
People will hate me for this take, but I don't care. CompTIA has done an extremely good job at getting people to believe that the Security Plus is the gateway to a information security job. They partner with organizations, they partner with universities, and they even partner with some high schools and middle schools, all in the effort of covering the gap that is information security jobs. And yet, when people get the certification, it's still not enough.
Oh, that just made my heart happy. I just love when people really talk about real things. Because, guys, please listen to us. It's not a magic card. You will not automatically get, if you're going to get, if you just got it and there's someone who has that and six other certifications and they didn't get it, you know, so it's the way that cybersecurity is immediately associated with Network Plus, sometimes A Plus, Security Plus, CISA Plus, Pentest Plus, like it's immediately associated with CompTIA. Like CompTIA is in a bag. They getting that money. They getting that money. Even the people who are deciding, the Professor Messers who are breaking down the content, like the marketing is insane. Because when you think about, I know you talk to anyone who wants to break in and they already know what the Security Plus is and they already are working on trying to get it. When there are other certifications that you can get that will provide you with a better landing in terms of, you know, possibly getting a job opportunity. But Security Plus alone, as you saw with the number, there are plenty of people who just have that and are still struggling to find a job.
And I typically only say Security Plus more so for if you're trying to get like some type of GovTech job or government help desk or some type of job, they're going to require a Security Plus. So in those instances, it's different. But everywhere else, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same. You know, it's just like telling somebody to get a security clearance and you're going to make all the money.
Yeah.
That's like you can just go apply for it.
A lot of times when I had my clearance and I was getting denied. So.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know why people think, oh, clearance is the job cheat code.
You explain that to the people who don't know that? Because when I started out, I will say I didn't know that this was just something. Like, I thought you could go, like, apply. Like, oh, yeah, I'm finna go apply to get a clearance. I'm finna. No. Can you explain that to people who don't know?
I know only, and I'll let Lee go after me because I know he got his clearance a different way. The only times I know you really can get a clearance if you didn't be in the military is if the company sponsors it.
Exactly.
I want to say it's the EQIP, right? Ain't that what's called, Lee, the EQIP?
Yeah, EQIP is just the system that, you know, that processes the clearances, right? So that's the way I'm starting to go.
They want to know who was your best friend when you were 7 and where you stayed here in the last 10 years and all this BS that really don't matter. And it take a while to get one. I think I had an interim clearance before my clearance was finally done. And I do know the younger you are, the easier it is to get a clearance versus if you're older, got some debts and some other stuff. Sometimes your clearance kind of take a minute to come because they got to come through so much information and see why you didn't pay this bill here or what's this or all this kind of stuff. Because for whatever reason, you're being judged off your credit. Why? I don't know. But people get judged off their credit.
Yeah, the judging off the credit was explained to me because, so we're trusting this person to hold secret or top secret, whatever the clearance is, information. But if they have bad debt, then they may sell secrets for the right price. So that's the idea behind that. But so clearances, like they said, can't just be applied for company sponsors, military sponsors, whatever. But there are some places that are known for sponsoring clearances. A lot of people go to clearancejobs.com and say they're looking for a company that sponsors clearances. Some people have told me they gotten in that way. Some smaller contractor companies of a bigger company may sponsor a clearance or just things like that. So, but yeah, it's definitely not the end all be all. Once you get a clearance, you still have to know what you're doing, right? So you get a clearance bag being a janitor somewhere. That's cool and all. But now you say, I want to be a cybersecurity engineer. And you're just as a janitor and got your clearance, doesn't mean you're just going to automatically get that job. That because it said, hey, we need a secret clearance for this engineer role. oh, I got it, so I can apply. No, nah.
Right. And I think this one going to be the last one that we look into, because I thought it was pretty funny. Because, like, Lee always be talking about this stuff. Right?
Although some supported, I've been getting dragged on the internet for finding a job for $18 an hour, because I did want to go on site and drive 90 plus miles a day. But check this.
$18 an hour. Which is crazy, because I stitched the video on my TikTok about this dude that does some type of, he was doing some type of job where he's a manager or something. And this man was getting paid $17 an hour and realizing his manager's friend, his peers were getting paid $32 an hour, $40 an hour. He was getting $17 and he had degrees and everything. Mm-hmm. So that just made me think about that.
This is another part of the whole hiring process that I cannot stand, as far as these salaries and the required work that these companies want you to do for little pay. 6 interviews and a shadow day of work later, I get an offer for $45,000 salary for an on-site position. This is a tech industry. Since then, I'm finna just accept and work my own businesses to the map and go off the grid, because working for the man at this point is over.
Now, I do want to interject right there, because it's like, I don't like when people don't have context. Like,
I was just about to say the same thing. Like, what role was this for? How experienced are they? What is this company? Mm-hmm. What were those interviews like? Like, what? I need more details. 6 interviews is insane. 3 is a lot. 3 is a lot.
Okay, I was going to say, hey, I can't even think about over 3. 3 is already pushing.
So I can, but I still need, like you said, some context behind this. Like, what role was this for?
I agree. And I think it's just that there also is on devil's advocate, there's a lot of entitlement of new people trying to come in thinking they, I feel like everybody should get a livable wage. But some people with no transferable skills want to come in and make a lot of money just because they think they should make it, versus like their skill set matching up for them making a lot of money. Like, they didn't put in the work to get paid the money that they think they deserve. And so you have people like that scoffing at $45,000, $50,000 when they probably was just making $30,000, but they had no skills. And yeah, I realized, hey, just take them skills, and then within a year or something, you can make more than that.
Yeah, the thing is, this, I don't think the pay is the biggest issue for her. The biggest issue is the responsibilities, the amount of interviews, the amount of decision making that it took just to get that offer. Something like this, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't really have much of an issue with if it was like maybe one interview and it's, hey, you want to be doing some simple task that's repetitive, the job of one person instead of the job of 3 people, then it makes sense that that salary is low. It doesn't require a lot of skills. It didn't require a lot of time up front that you invest in it into the company with all these interviews. But to go through all those interviews and then working and then 90 miles of travel, all of that for 45, yeah, that's the disrespect that she's talking about.
I want to know more about the shadow day, because that's weird. And how do you let me shadow as a non-employee seeing, or what am I shadowing? Obviously someone working, which means I'm seeing some sort of data from the company that I probably shouldn't be seeing, because I'm not an employee, technically. So the shadow piece, I got questions for the person who wrote this, just so I can have a better understanding on what the situation was.
Right. You don't find that suspicious.
Exactly. Also, the on-site position doesn't shock me for the pay, because
I'm not worried about that. Let's deal with this. You went through 6 interviews and you shadowed somebody to not know what you was getting paid before, like, getting an offer. That lets me know one or two things. This story is fake, or this person don't have any experience.
It's definitely something about it.
Salary. If not, it's like, call somebody else.
Because people don't even like doing the little assessments, the little coding stuff that they have to do when they code. Like, they don't even like doing that. So a shadow day, not a project, not a take home, a shadow day is just crazy to me.
And also, I wonder if it was actually 6 interviews or was it actually 3, but the last round had like a
whole bunch of people. That's the same thing I was thinking.
Like, that's how typical mine has been. It's like you got the recruiter, hiring manager, then you have like a loop of like, you know, 1, 2, 3. Like they're like, they kind of count in the last range, but it's like they don't really kind of count it like different interviews. It's like all together but spaced out. Because sometimes, see, yeah, look, sometimes you got to get them jobs where your interview, like, it's not the whole day, but it's like 4 to 6 hours and it's spaced out.
Yep.
So you have 2 people like each hour, and then you have like lunch, and then you'll come back.
So. That's how I prefer it. Let's knock it out today. So if I don't have to be anxious today and tomorrow.
If this sounds like a whole schedule I have to make for multiple interviews, that pay, it better not be anywhere near.
Right? Because if you're already working, especially, you're absolutely going to have more than one interview. Now, I don't know how they all like to get them scheduled, but just know you might need to miss some work.
Yeah.
Depending on their availability, because it's not just yours, too. It's when they're available, too.
Right. And now we can kind of closing remarks or whatever. But for those who've been following me, know that I posted about, I've been really happy for like my latest client who got his first offer with a company that, you know, I was supposed to be working at. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I'm really happy for him. Like I was telling Lee, that one of the bigger things I was happy about is that they told him, his direct feedback was like, hey, you outperformed your resume in your interview process. And
so he was well prepared.
Yeah. You know, I helped prepare him. So that was like a big thing, like also a selling point when people, y'all should go check out my new website. Well, it's not new, but I revamped it until I moved to Kajabi. I think it's simpler to the point, and I think people like it. But that's like the hardest part for people when they want to pivot. It's like they learn all this stuff, but what are they going to ask me? Because interviews not like tests. Like you rarely get a study guide. Now, sometimes you have a good recruiter that'll say, hey, we typically ask these questions, kind of make sure you know how to answer these. But for the most part, you don't know what they're going to ask you. And that's what makes interviews like so pressing and hard and make you have anxiety. But this particular company is cool because they kind of ask things that should be based on the level that you should be interviewing at. They don't expect you to know stuff you should know. Like they didn't ask him anything about Yara and JSON. Like Alight asked him. They asked him about reverse malware engineering and stuff. Granted, he shouldn't have put that on his resume, but still. So he did good. It's not a 6-figure security job, but it's a job that's going to lead to him getting that amount within like a year. If not, like, of course he's going to be there like a year or two. But he will get that in no time, and he gonna get the skills to pay the bills. That's the biggest part. Like y'all trying to hit the home run, but just get the first base and get your experience. You know what I'm saying? Then eventually you could be a security engineer too, working at Lockheed Martin, working at a Microsoft.
Sure, yeah.
That's Mr. LM right there, man.
That's Mr. What you call your stuff? Confidential. That's actually the name of the company.
Confidential is hilarious. Yes. Did you send that to him?
I think I did. Do not message me saying you applied to Confidential and ask me, can I give you any tips? I don't work at Confidential. I just have
That tickled me. I'm not going to lie. That definitely tickled me.
Hey, how do you folks know the difference, man? If it's a company and you saying it's, you know.
Maybe they can look at like a company actually being called Confidential and seeing that I don't have a logo of any company on my company. So that's one. Also, I was being funny. So that what I posted on my story about what I tweeted to Tank. He said, keep him out of that BS or whatever. But he deleted the quote tweet. So I had to screenshot it because Javante is the king of deleting tweets. So I was like, yeah, I wonder if somebody's going to make a YouTube video about that. Because he always will say something and delete it. I feel like it'd be a smart move if he's going to walk out with Kendrick. It'd be pretty funny.
Oh, you know what? I think I seen that. He responded to your tweet?
Yeah, he quoted.
You made it now, huh? You got celebrities responding to you.
Man, I mean, it's been a lot of like different type of celebrities that's like responding to me throughout the years. I won't name one of my one of the people that responded to me, but I just say Jeep got a famous car name after this, and then if you can fill it in the blanks, you can think about who responded to me on Twitter before.
Jeep.
Huh. Yeah.
I know you're talking about. Bye.
See, she got it. He's still thinking. That's how I know he's Gen Z.
No. Oh Lord.
No, that ain't got nothing to do with me, man.
Yes, it do. You Gen Z.
Anybody got nothing? Wait, got nothing to do with me, man.
Any millennial would have got that right away. You barely went to Hollywood Video or Blockbuster.
I know about all of that. All this stuff is gone.
I said you barely went.
That's about all of that. It's crazy. You didn't experience it.
Blockbuster, actually going to buy your movies out of the store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, why not? VCRs, all of that. All of that. Come on, man. Stop trying to play me, man.
Well, it's okay to be Gen Z.
Stop trying to play me, man.
Gen Z be getting all the love on TikTok and everything, man.
They eating for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look at the guy on Instagram. He said, hey, I wake up 21 years old. I just wake up.
Dre Brown or DeAndre, the one that, no, we're not going to do that.
He is so funny.
I be hating. I be feeling like Kendrick a little bit, hating on people like him. He's been here longer than me, but they be doing some BS and get famous.
That's what it take. One I think I'm just
dissing everybody to make my clout go up. I'm going to start dissing everybody.
Hey, that's what it takes.
Okay, Drizzy.
The last
one. Barrel.
What is it? The braids? Throughout the day. What do you say? Trying to push a P. But you push a T. I don't care, man. Y'all let that man get away with that, man. That's like me. That's like me and Lee going at it. And I know Lee lost to some dude. And I say, you try to talk to me, but you still got to deal with him. But it's me and Lee situation. But I'm trying to tag somebody else in.
Hey, man.
That's what I got from that.
Hopefully he chill out and don't drop another one.
He ain't. He got his little hit. Hands on your knees. Hands on your knees.
Yeah. Six.
But listen, man, I want everybody to, well, by the time y'all see this, it's not Memorial Day, but I hope y'all enjoyed your Memorial Day. I got some heat coming up on the way for y'all. We got some stuff coming up on the way. The Clay Talk Show will be back in effect pretty soon. I'm going to hold him accountable. He only recorded one episode. It's a good episode, but he only recorded one so far.
One? I got like six.
The last one was better.
I got like six.
Okay, so he got six episodes. We're going to say that's one. We're going to say that's like one to me.
I got none, so.
Yet. So everybody, you know what I'm saying, this is the year of the content creators. Everybody submit content. And, you know, I should, if this doesn't have to be worried about being copyrighted, I would definitely probably end this podcast with BBL Drizzy.
Man.
With BBL Drizzy. He told Sexy to keep it natural. She don't need it.
It's the fact that he was rapping over it.
That was smart. I told my cousin that like 2 weeks ago. I said he really should just go ahead and rap over it, take the sting out of it. Because like, if me and Lee was roasting, which he not a good roaster, but if he was roasting and I didn't feel like dealing with what he was going to say, it's two things I could do.
He must have just
mimic everything he say, which people hate that. When you copy somebody what they're saying, just repeat, like, or you repeat back to it. And then he'll be like, all right, man, I ain't finna play with you. Because that's how I used to get people to like, stop doing that to me. If I didn't feel like playing that time, I just start copying them. And they just go try to find somebody else to crack on.
That does not work in Memphis at all. It does not work. I'm trying to take more boy. You just don't know.
Is Kakashi not the copy nigga? I mean, the copy nigga. Hey, that should be a parody series, Kakashi the copy nigga.
It sounds like something that's already out.
I don't think so. But I don't know. Anybody, look, this is how we ended the pile last time. We was talking about movie lines that live rent free in our head. And so everybody got to give a movie line before we end. I think I'm going to go last.
That I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know movie?
It's like, I can't think on the fly about movies like that.
I know Destiny got one.
You already know. What's in my head today is Katherine Jackson when she caught Joe cheating, and she was like, I don't want you, I don't want you, I don't want you. Use a lie and use a cheat. She caught him cheating when she went to the store to go get him some ice cream, trying to be a good wife, and she came back home and he was on the phone with the side piece while he was at home. And yeah, she was listening and let him know, I don't want you, I don't want you. Use a lie, you a cheat. Look it up. Keke Palmer does an amazing impression of that, of Angela Bassett.
You found one yet, Lee?
I can't. I don't know, man.
You could have said, this my daddy house. You don't know that movie?
I forget. Like, I be forgetting.
ATL, oh my goodness.
ATL, I know the movie. I just can't remember lines from, like, I know that's the...
I call you son because you shine like one.
Call you son because you shine like one. Who is that?
That's what he said to his friend.
Bro, I don't know.
So, I'm thinking about what I smell in the kitchen. So I thought about one of my favorite movies, Road Bounce, and R.I.P. to Charlie Murphy. I wish I had something I could hold. I'm gonna hold something like this. Matter of fact, he's sitting there eating. Hey man, don't touch my ribs.
That's what type of time you on today.
And that we stay saying stuff from that, man. What up, Kurt? That boy got stretchy pants. That boy got stretchy pants. See, Lee don't know nothing about that. He was watching.
Lee, we're going to need you to start remembering a line or three.
That's a three.
You got to have some of you. Watch this. Something to miss on. What's the movie you put on when the honeys come over?
I don't know. I don't put on nothing, man. I don't.
You got no game. No game.
I don't need none, apparently.
You could throw a little Best Man Holiday on us. Best Man at least. Something.
You know how to say, like, talking about she look like Janet Jackson. Came out feeling like Freddie Jackson.
Okay.
Don't you ever.
Hey, we're Smokey. I want my money.
Yeah. Hey.
I'm just took my ear.
Man, listen, man. Hey, we'll come back to it. I don't know.
Man, that's what, listen, y'all. Put in the comments if you made it this far. Lee, what's your favorite movie? And he got to answer that if you made it this far. And if you made it this far, if you can say what three movie lines and what movies they from that we said, I'll give you a free consult.
Ooh. I'll give you.
So we'll do that. But it's been another episode of the Textual Talk. Appreciate y'all for rocking with us. As we always say, jobs need training. Let's stay textual. We out.
Bye.